before we get to the sermon this morning, I wanted to read something to you, something that Amy sent me this week. I'm pretty sure that everybody knows that my family doesn't do the Facebook thing, and that it's one of my favorite things to joke about. And she found that, I don't know if she, I didn't ask her, I don't know if somebody sent this to her or she just found it and sent it to me, but I saw this today and I thought this is perfect. I want to share this with everybody this morning. Here's what it says. It says, "For those of us who do not and cannot comprehend why Facebook exists, I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles." Now, for this to be funny, you have to know something about Facebook. So I hope that you know at least something about it so this won't be a waste of time. So I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook with the same principles. "Therefore, every day I walk down the street and tell passersby what I have eaten, how I feel at the moment, what I have done the night before, and what I will do later and with whom. I give them pictures of my family, my dog, of me gardening, taking things apart in the garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day." This is my favorite. This is my absolute favorite. You're not even going to think this is that funny. This just strikes me as funny, this one right here. I also, because I could picture somebody doing this.
Why did you come up with
it? Yeah. I tell you, it's probably only this funny to me.
Because really all of us Facebook users are kind of upset.
Kind of mad right now? Yeah. Yeah. "I also listen to their conversations, give them thumbs up, and tell them that I like them. And it works, just like Facebook. I already have 4 people following me, 2 police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist." I can just picture somebody walking up, listening to other people talking and giving them a thumbs up and saying, like. Don't. Because you can always do this. Yeah. And then if half of the people get up and walk out, I know I've been unfriended. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and find verse 10. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, reading 10 through 17. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Dear God, one more time, we come to you and ask that you'd help us this morning. Help us understand the text that we read. Help us to understand these fundamentals and just strengthen us and encourage us to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning and over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the fundamental doctrines of the faith. Okay, so we could look at this a few different ways. We could say, what are the fundamental doctrines of Christianity? Or we could say, what is a biblical fundamentalist? What does it mean to be a fundamentalist? What are the teachings that our faith are built upon? Does every Christian believe the same thing? These are all questions that we're going to consider and answer. So what are the teachings that our faith are built upon? Does every Christian believe the same thing? If they do, why all the different denominations? Why all the different churches? Different Bible versions and Christians arguing about what the Bible really says. And why is it so important to have these teachings right and to stand up for them? I want you to understand that we are not going through this because Faith Baptist Church is an independent fundamental Baptist church, okay? We're simply going through these because this is what the Bible teaches, and we preach and teach the Bible here, okay? So it's not, well, we're a fundamental church, we've got to talk about the fundamentals. We are Christians who believe what the Bible says, and that's why we're going to go through these. We are, there's something else that I want to point out. By the way, if nobody's ever told you, if you don't know, or if you've ever wondered, the independent part of our name, since I brought that up, the independent part of our name, that simply means that this church is like the churches of the New Testament, the early churches, in that we are autonomous. That just means we are an independent body of believers. We don't belong to an association or a group of churches. The independent Baptists are not the only churches that are like that. There are non-denominational churches that don't belong to associations. But basically, there are church associations. Southern Baptist, United Methodist, Assemblies of God, the First Christian Church, Nazarene, on and on and on and on. And usually if your church is one of those, you belong to this big association and there's a headquarters somewhere, and the people at that headquarters are basically who you kind of answer to. And some of them kind of leave their churches alone and some of them really get involved. It just depends. But basically what ends up happening is you belong to this group, and sometimes some of these groups require churches to pay dues to them, so the church will have to send that group, the headquarters, money a little bit each year. And like I said, some of them stay out of the church's business and just leave them alone. And some of them get very involved. And some of them really get in and kind of dictate what the church does. So can you imagine somebody in, I don't know, let's say Kentucky, if we belong to an association and the headquarters was in Kentucky, could you imagine a group of men that have never set foot in this church monitoring what we preach and dictating what we preach, and then if we needed a pastor, picking that pastor for us, or at least sending us candidates? We couldn't even pick our own candidates. And that's how some of these work. And some associations don't do that. They leave all that up to the church. They don't all work the same. But in the early church, in the New Testament, every church was a body by itself. Now they could send aid to other churches, and the Christians could worship together and everything. But one church couldn't tell another church how to run its business. Only one person could tell them that, and that's Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And so, excuse me, we have three independent Baptist churches between here and Margaret Avenue. Okay? And since we are independent Baptist churches, we can't tell Brother Thompson, we can't tell his church down the road what to do, and they can't tell our church what to do. Nobody can tell this church what to do. God is our authority. The Bible is our authority. Christ is the head of the church. Now, if we wanted to do something with that church, if we wanted to join and have a revival or something like that, a church of like faith, we're free to do that, but nobody can dictate what we do. So that's why we're independent. But what's as important and maybe more important, I mean, the early church, it's biblical to be independent. We don't find these associations in the Bible. What is as important and maybe more important is the fundamental part. What does that mean? And I'm not standing up here this morning saying, church, we are a fundamental Baptist church, so here's what you believe. And if you don't believe this, you better get on board. That's the last thing in the world I would stand up and preach. What I'm preaching is, church, here are the fundamental doctrines of the faith. This is what your pastor believes, the fundamental doctrines of the faith. This is what traditionally this church has believed, the fundamental doctrines of the faith. And it is up to every single individual in this building to make up their mind and decide, do I believe the fundamental doctrines of the faith? If you are going to be a biblical fundamentalist, be one because you know the fundamentals and you believe them, not because you go to a church that's a fundamental church or your pastor is a fundamental pastor. You know, don't say, well, I'm this because that's where I go. Some people, if they did that, they'd be a Nazarene one week, a Baptist the next week, and a Methodist the next week. But don't say, well, I believe that, that's what my church believes. I believe that, that's what my pastor believes. If you are a biblical fundamentalist, be one because you can say, I know the fundamental doctrines of the faith and I believe them with all my heart. Not because somebody else told me and not because that's what our church does. And that's why I preach this. That's why I preach this. Not to say, all right, church, here's what we believe. I can say, here's what the Bible teaches and here's what Faith Baptist Church will continue to teach and preach. This is what this church as a whole believes. But you individuals, just like everything that's preached every week, every individual has to make up their own mind if they believe it and if they're going to accept it and obey it. Make sense? Okay. Because some preachers would get up and say, all right, here's what you believe. Here's what we know. These are the fundamentals. This is what I believe. This is what Faith Baptist Church stands for. But it's an individual choice. Do we believe these things? But I can say this. You believe these things because these things I'm always preaching. These things come out in all of my preaching because that's who I am, that's who this church is, and you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't stay here if you didn't believe them. So what we're doing is we're just clarifying this. This will be a help, I believe, to everybody because there may be some that have never gone through the individual fundamentals of the faith. There may be some that have, but it's been a while and need to be refreshed. There may be some that are new Christians. And for new Christians, this is extremely important. This is a part of discipleship here. This is one of the things you need to start out with. Got to get this right. Maybe you've been saved for many years, like I was, and never really learned these fundamentals and never really got them right. And then you'll learn them and say, oh, that clears up a lot of stuff. That makes a lot of things a lot easier. So a lot of different reasons why we're doing this. But this morning, I hope to answer three questions. And those questions are these. First of all, what is the definition of fundamental? What does fundamental mean? Second of all, what is a biblical fundamentalist? And third, why is it important to be one? Because I believe that if you are a Christian, if you don't believe the fundamental doctrines of the faith, I believe you're wasting time. I believe you are hindering your fellowship with God, your walk with God, if you don't believe the fundamental basics of the faith, because it's going to throw you off and make so many other things difficult in your life if you don't have the fundamentals correct. So what does fundamental mean? What is a biblical fundamentalist? Why is it important to be one? We're going to look at all those this morning. And starting next Sunday morning, we will see, this morning is laying the groundwork. Next Sunday morning is when we will actually begin the individual fundamental doctrines of the faith. What are the specific doctrines? This morning we're just doing kind of an overview of this is like the intro, okay, what we're going to be studying and why it's important to study this. And next Sunday morning we'll start with the very first fundamental doctrine of the faith, which is the authority of the Scriptures. And we'll look at why that's so important. But let's answer these questions this morning. The word fundamental, okay? pardon me. This word fundamental has really taken a beating in our world today, especially when it comes to religion, when it comes to belief, when it comes to faith. It has taken a beating. Those outside of Christianity have misused it and misapplied it when it comes to Christianity or when it comes to other religions. And let me show you how they have done that. First of all, I believe this was done intentionally. Nowadays, if there is a terror attack carried out by Muslims, the term now is Islamic extremist. Okay? But before Islamic extremist, what you might have heard was Islamic fundamentalist. Now it's Islamic extremist, but it was Islamic fundamentalist. Somebody in the name of their faith blows up a shopping mall full of innocent people, and the media says Islamic fundamentalist. What does that do? That right away gives you a negative connotation of the word fundamentalist. Okay? A few years back, you might remember that there were a group of Mormons down in Texas that had this big compound, and the guys had multiple wives and all these kids and everything, and government went in and did whatever. And what we heard was fundamental Mormons, Mormon fundamentalists. I remember they kept saying that on the TV. So this name is given, fundamentalist is given a negative connotation. Whenever a so-called preacher gets up and proves that he's a, whatever you want to call him, whack job or whatever, and just goes nuts and does something crazy and runs off with the secretary or whatever it is they do, takes a bunch of money, you know, fraud, and leaves town with a couple $1 million that they got from the church and everything. If he was the pastor of a fundamental Baptist church, the media is going to make sure that you know that he came from a fundamental Baptist church. If not, they'll point out that he was an evangelical Christian, which is not exactly the same thing, but in the media, that's still a dirty word. Evangelical Christian and fundamental Baptist. They're going to point that out. It doesn't matter, all of us who have never ran off with our secretaries and who have never taken money from the church, it doesn't matter. When one of them goes bad, they want to point out fundamental. So the world sometimes, when it comes to, mainly just when it comes to beliefs and religions, give fundamental a bad name. But I want to point something out to you real quick here this morning. Now you know that I do not, that I would never say anything positive about anything, any religion other than Christianity. If it doesn't adhere to what God says, I would never say anything positive about it. So don't take this that way, that I'm saying something positive, because I'm not. But in regards to Islamic fundamentalist, fundamental Mormons, could I tell you this? You know what they actually are? They're actually honest Muslims and honest Mormons. Because their books teach them to do exactly what they're doing. The Quran teaches that if you can't convert someone, to take them with the sword. That's fact. That's what their book teaches them. So the ones that are actually doing that, they're the ones that actually fully believe what their religion teaches. Now, it's wrong. It's a lie. But they're not extremist. They're just the honest ones who are really carrying out what they say they believe. And people say, oh, well, there are all these peaceful Muslims. Then they're not real Muslims, because Islam is not a religion of peace. If you know anything about it, it's not. Mormons who have multiple wives and multiple children with multiple wives, they're just adhering to what their books teach them. That's what Mormonism teaches. There is a group that has stopped doing that. They've never gone back and said that was wrong. They've just said our church doesn't do that anymore. But that little group that's still doing it, they try to make them look like the little fringe group. They're the ones that are actually doing what their religion teaches. Now, it's all wrong. But instead of calling them extremists, you ought to just call them honest in that regard. They're actually doing what their books teach them to do. Okay? But you're going to hear this word fundamental, and it's going to have a negative twist. Fundamental Baptist. Fundamental Baptist, if you don't know this, there are some that have given Fundamental Baptist a bad name. And there are people in every denomination that have given that denomination a bad name. We just seem to get a little more media coverage than anybody else. We seem to get a little more recognition. Well, if you're a fundamental Baptist, then you probably treat your wife like a doormat and give her a good beating every night. And women can't, they're just, you know, something for you to walk on, and you probably beat your children. And if your pastor, that's a cult that you belong to, that church is a cult. And so if your pastor told you to go home and drink poison at 7:58 tonight because God said that's when we were all going to heaven, you'd probably go do it because you're one of those fundamentalists, and you know those fundamentalists, they're a cult. Now that's not everywhere, but that is part of what's being said about fundamentalism. I've heard it, I've read it, it's out there. So there's plenty of ideas of what fundamentalism is not. Let's clear up what it is. What does the word fundamental mean? We have to begin there. The word fundamental means of central importance or affecting the underlying principles or structure of something. It's the basics. Okay? We read this morning, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We take what we believe from God's Word, and this is where we get our fundamentals, our basics. Okay? Fundamental just means what are the basic elements, the basic building points, the things that have to be there to make something what it is. Okay? If I said basketball to you, if I said basketball, tell me some of the fundamentals. Somebody just tell me what one of the fundamentals of basketball is. What do you think a fundamental of basketball would be? Anybody?
Learning how to dribble the ball.
Dribbling. Okay? That's a fundamental. You got to know that to play basketball. Passing. Okay?
Shooting.
Shooting. Okay? Fundamentals of basketball would be dribbling, passing, how to properly shoot. Okay, those are the fundamentals, the basics. Those make the game what they are. Size of the court and height of the rim, those are fundamentals. You have to have that to have basketball. Okay? But nobody has a problem when you talk about the fundamentals of a sport. All right? The fundamentals of carpentry. Okay? Knowing how to measure, knowing how to drive a nail, knowing how to read a level, the fundamentals of carpentry. There are more difficult things, just like in basketball, there are more in-depth, difficult things. You know, running plays, that's not a fundamental. That's something you learn later. You can't get to the plays if you don't know the basics and how to dribble and bring the ball down the court. You have to have those fundamentals to have anything. Everything has its fundamentals. And if we would compromise on any of those fundamentals, then we're going to end up with something different. Okay? If we were to say of basketball, instead of dribbling, we're only going to change a few things. We're only going to change a few things. Instead of dribbling, we're going to kick the ball. And we're going to bring the net down to the ground. And we're going to make it bigger. Okay? That's all we're going to do. That's the only thing we're going to change. We're going to bring the net to the ground, make it bigger, and instead of dribbling, you have to kick the ball. We have changed three fundamentals, and what do we have now? Soccer. We only changed three things. Kick instead of dribble, lower the goal, make it bigger. That's all we did. And we have an entirely new game. So just by changing the fundamentals, you change the entire structure of what something is. Well, it's the same way with Christianity. You change the fundamentals, or even just a few of the fundamentals, you no longer have biblical Christianity. That's why the fundamentals are important. You can't say, well, you know what, we agree on all these, but maybe Jesus didn't really live a sinful life, live a sinless life. You don't have Christianity anymore. It relies on Him having a sinless life. You see, you know what? I hold to all those fundamentals except Jesus being God in the flesh, then you don't have Christianity. You can't change that fundamental. It changes everything. Well, you know what? I think that this is as close as we can get to God's word. It's really not his complete word. Man's kind of messed it up. You don't have Christianity anymore. That's a fundamental doctrine. It relies on God giving man his word and preserving it. So by changing even one fundamental doctrine, you can change the whole institution. And so we can't, that's why we don't compromise, church. It's not because we like being the littlest guys in town. It's not because we like being treated like the outsiders. It's not because we like being called mean and hateful and closed-minded. I told you one time, an open mind just leads to your brain falling out. There are certain things you have to have your mind closed like a steel trap. And some of those things are the fundamentals of the faith. There's no compromise there if you're going to have Christianity. So we would not accept compromise when it comes to our sports and our jobs and everything. Why would we compromise when it comes to the fundamental doctrines of our faith, which is more important than any of that? So fundamental just means the basics, the underlying principles that make something up. Okay, question number two, what is a biblical fundamentalist? Someone who believes in the basic fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, of the Bible. Who believes all of those fundamentals. That's all a biblical fundamentalist is. I believe in the basic building block fundamental doctrine teachings of God's Word. That's what a biblical fundamentalist is. I just believe in the fundamentals. Okay? Now, why is it so important to be one? Well, first of all, you and I, if we're going to have any credibility as we go out and try to preach to people and lead people to Christ, you and I must know what we believe and why. And the why, you have to know what you believe and you have to know why you believe it. If you can't explain it, you look like a joke, you've lost credibility. What you believe, why you believe it, and the why, absolutely, if you want any credibility at all, if you want biblical Christianity, the why must be because thus saith the Lord. You have to be able to say, I believe this because God said it in His Word. Not, that's what I've always been taught, that's what my preacher preaches, that's what my family taught me. If your family has taught you to be a biblical fundamentalist, good. But you need to be able to go to the Bible and point it out yourself and say, right, there's what my family taught me from the Bible. Not just that's what mama and daddy always said. We have to be able to go to the Word and say, here it is. This is why I'm a fundamentalist. Yes, my family raised me like this, but my family taught it to me out of here. My family didn't make it up. My family gave me proof. So the why has to be, thus saith the Lord. That's why I believe it. As we say sometimes, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Okay? So we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. Let's look at a few other passages of Scripture. Psalm 1. And the passage we read this morning there in 2 Timothy simply just talks about the basic, you know, it's saying stick to what you've been taught and what you know is true from God's Word because God's Word is all you need. That's fundamentalism. Sticking to what God's Word says and the basics because that's what I need. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now here comes verse number 3. Here's one other reason why we need to know for ourselves what the Bible teaches. Why it can't be, that's what I've always taught, that's what my church says, that's what my pastor says. Here's why we need to know. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I said before, if you're not going to be a biblical Christian, Why are you wasting your time? Anything worth doing is worth doing right. So if you're going to be a Christian, be the Christian the Bible says to be. If not, you're wasting time. And you're getting in the way and making things harder for people who are trying to do it the way God said. Because we go knock on a door and try to witness to somebody, and they've already had five other people with five different views that they made up coming to their door, and we're trying to get them to listen to the truth, and by this time they're worn out. Okay? But if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to be a strong Christian. I want to be planted like a tree by the rivers of water. I want to be strong in what I do. I want to be able to withstand the darts of the devil and the winds of change. Well, to do that, I'm going to have to meditate in His Word. I'm going to have to love it so that I can be planted. Okay? Colossians chapter 1. What good thing Brother Josh preaching tonight. I won't have a voice left. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. So here, the Apostle Paul is saying, basically, stick with the stuff. Be planted, be firm, know what you believe and stick with it. Some of you were raised a certain way and then you found out that was wrong. What I was taught wasn't wrong, and then you had to change. But once you've learned what is right, that's when the changing stops. When we've learned what the Bible teaches, we get in and we stay there. And then go back to 2 Timothy. Let's look at chapter 4. Pardon me. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Look here. I have kept the faith. Keeping the faith means that what you have learned from God's Word, you believe it and you stick with it. And you don't compromise when things get tough. You don't compromise when you lose friends. You don't compromise when the kids disagree. You don't compromise when your husband or wife disagrees. If God said it and it's true and you believe it, then you keep the faith and you stick with it. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Now some will say that having such a firm stand on these fundamentals will bring division. And they'll say, well, isn't it better to look past those things and to work together for the greater good? Shouldn't we give a little bit, you know, just try to get along and work for the greater good? Church, let me ask you something. What's the greater good? Who is the greater good? God. He's the greatest good. They say, why don't we overlook a few of these things and work together toward the greater good? Well, what's your definition of the greater good? Because that's God. He is the greatest good, and that's who we're supposed to be working for. So how can I please Him and work for Him with you side by side? If someone says, why don't we look beyond this? How can we do that for God if we don't agree on His very word? How can we do that? What would they suggest we look past? Can we disagree on the deity of Christ? No. Can we disagree on the blood sacrifice? No. Can we disagree on winning people to Christ? No. Can we disagree on the authority of the Scripture? No. So what do they suggest we look past for the greater good? God said in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can we labor together unless we believe the same thing? You don't put a painter and a plumber together and tell them to fix a carburetor. They don't do the same thing. That's not what they do. You take a couple mechanics and say, here, fix this carburetor. You put the painter in the house with another painter and say, paint these walls. Okay? So we have to be agreed. And what we have to start by agreeing on, we'll look at this more next week, is what's our final authority? What's our final authority? The primary question about fundamentalism comes down to this. What's your final authority? That's where it all begins. That's why we started in 2 Timothy 3. That's where it begins. Who's your final authority? Is it God and His Word, absolute truth? Or is it your feelings? Is it your emotions? Is it your personal experiences? Some people put those on the same level with God's Word, and you can't. That's not what the Bible teaches. Last Sunday night, I quoted a poem. It's one of my favorites. It says, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Your feelings will change. God's Word doesn't. So what's your final authority? Is it the Bible or is it your church's doctrine? Catholics who would claim to believe what this book says have something called a catechism that one of their popes wrote, whichever that one was in the 90s. He wrote that catechism. And that's what they hold to, a book other than the Bible that tells them what they believe. Mormons, you'd say, well, Book of Mormon. No. But Mormons, it's not Bible or Book of Mormon. They've got a book called Doctrines and Covenants. And it's what their church presidents have made up over the years. That's what they hold by. So it comes down to what's your final authority? Is it God's Word or is it the Word of man? What are you going to stand on? We're going to stand on God's Word or something from man? Now, emotions do play a part in our life, but they can't be our guiding principle because they change. Others claim to believe the Bible and nothing else, but their lives and their churches are drastically different from other people who make the same claim. So how can we say we believe the Bible and nothing else, and another church says we believe the Bible and nothing else, and we don't agree on anything? What's that mean? Somebody's wrong about what the Bible says is what that means. Somebody has compromised. Somebody doesn't stick to the fundamental doctrines of the faith. And next week, next Sunday morning, when we look at our first doctrine here, the Scripture, the authority of the Scripture, we'll get into that a little bit more. So fundamental means the basics. A biblical fundamentalist believes and adheres to the Word, the whole Word, and nothing but the Word. A biblical fundamentalist, when he goes to the Bible and sees something that he disagrees with, he doesn't get him a new Bible, a new version, or a new church. He doesn't try to change what God says. He changes himself to line up with God's Word. That's what a Christian does. That's what a biblical Christian does. He reads the Word and he says, man, I don't like that. But that's right, so I'm wrong and I need to change to line up with this. That's what a Christian does. Nah, I want a Bible that I like. Can you give me one with pictures? How about one of those adult Bible Christian coloring books Pastor was talking about, which I saw in Walmart the other day? I'm not telling y'all to run out and get them. I'm not telling you where they're available. I want a church service that makes me feel good. How about I want to be in a church service that pleases God because it's about Him and not me? So a biblical Christian, a biblical fundamentalist will say, this is right. And anytime I disagree with it, I'm the one that's in error. I'm the one that's wrong because this is perfect and I'm not. So when that says one thing and I think or say another thing, I have to change to line up with what this says. That's what a biblical Christian does. He believes and adheres to the plain teaching of Scripture, not the popular teaching of man. Let's close with Matthew 7. What I hope you walk out of here with today, more than anything, I say this because what I believe God would have us to understand at the beginning of this study, what I believe is important today, what I believe we need to walk out of here understanding today is not only what does fundamental mean, what's a biblical fundamentalist, but most importantly, why is it important to believe the fundamental doctrines of the faith? I hope that's what we walk out of here saying. I understand a little bit better what fundamental means. Now we're getting ready to learn what the specific fundamentals are. I understand a little bit better, and I understand why that's so important. Why that's so important. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You say, boy, fundamentalism, isn't that just such a narrow view? Absolutely, that's what God said it was. The gate, this is a narrow path. The broad path that leads to hell, you know why it has to be broad? Because there's so many people on it. And it's so easy to get on it because you can believe whatever. But this way, Jesus Christ said that He said He was the way, the truth, and the life. Boy, that sounds kind of final. That sounds kind of narrow. That's right, because that's how it is. We stay on this narrow way. There's no room for drifting out here and out here and compromising on this. No, we keep the faith right here. Right here, blinders, like a horse, blinders. Don't want to see what's going on around me. I'll get distracted. I stay with my mind on God. A true biblical fundamentalist. We believe and adhere to the plain, simple, undiluted truth of God. Now, why? Why is that so important? First of all, it's important because if you're saved, you ought have a desire to live a life that pleases the one who saved your soul from hell. First of all. If you're saved, you have been saved from the very flames of hell, and you ought have a desire to please the one who snatched you from that pit. And His Word tells us, keep the faith and not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Secondly, it's important to believe in the fundamentals because souls are at stake. One of our responsibilities is to take the gospel to people who are lost so they can get saved and escape hell the same way that you did when Christ saved you. And to properly do that, we need to know what the Bible teaches without a bunch of error mixed in. So it's important because of who saved us. It's important because others need to be saved. And how about this? This kind of goes along with the first reason. Does Christ not deserve our full and complete obedience? After all He's done for us in saving our souls and then keeping us saved and then all the blessings and provision and all, does He not deserve our full and complete obedience? That's going to take knowing what this teaches and adhering to it. So in the weeks to come, I hope that we'll get a better understanding of what those doctrines are. And next week, Sunday morning, we'll look at the authority of the Scripture, why we have to begin there, why that's so important. We will pray, have a short hymn of invitation, and then we'll approach the Lord's table. Dear